Helen sent me a message. And as I looked at the theme for this morning, we're going to be looking at unity in the body of Christ. And what is church? So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 16. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." May God bless his word to us this morning. You know, I was so pleased to put this message together this morning because Paul the Apostle is one of my heroes. I think if I want to be anything like anyone, I want to be like Paul. Not his early life, because obviously he hated the church. He destroyed the church wherever he could. Many Christians had suffered at his hand, whether they were killed, crucified, abused, or tortured. But then he finds light on the Damascus road. He finds salvation when God speaks to him in a very special way. His life turns around. And here we find letters that he wrote to churches that he looked after. What a transformation of life that is. That is salvation. That is where we came from ourselves, from a life that we lived, to acknowledging Jesus as our Savior, and that life changed. Our lives changed from that moment onwards. We still make mistakes. We're still human. But God understands and he loves and he cares for us and he gives us grace. So let's read just a little bit here about the Ephesian church. Ephesus was the most important city in the Western Asia Minor, now known as Turkey. Because it was an intercession of major trade routes, so many trades went through that city. It became a commercial centre. It also boasted a pagan temple dedicated to the Roman goddess Diana. Paul made Ephesus a centre for evangelism for about 3 years. This letter was probably not sent merely to the church at Ephesus, but also to the various churches in the province of Asia, where Paul conducted his third missionary journey. In chapter 1, Paul speaks to the church, reminding them that we are a chosen people who have received redemption through the blood of Jesus on the cross. And he emphasizes the importance of faith, thanksgiving, and prayer. Chapter 2, Paul speaks of the headship of Christ, that we are now alive in Christ, and the church, which is God's house, is firmly built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Then in chapter 3, Paul speaks of prayer, so that Christians may realize God's purpose and his power, that through the church and the manifold wisdom of God, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities, that through faith we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So we now come to Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it's interesting when you're going to have this meeting to find a mission statement. I've always had a mission statement myself. And you know, I've been an evangelist for many, many years. I mean, thinking back, I can't tell you when it started, but I began to start telling people about Jesus, and my whole kind of feeling is I want people to know about him. I've worked so hard on door to door at different times. As you know, in my work at Havens, I had worked very hard to bring people to Christ before it's too late for them. And you know, I have a mission statement myself. And that statement is win people for Christ, build them up in their faith, and send them out. That's my faith. That's my mission statement. Win people for Christ, see them built up in their faith, and for them to go out and do exactly the same. Go out and win people for Christ. And you know, that was Paul. That's what he did. He won people for Christ through his life, through his leadership, through his guidance. And he looked after churches, and certainly this one, the church at Ephesus. Doctrine was very much a big part of the first three chapters. But this time, chapter 4, Paul encourages us to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How many people are peacekeepers? Oh, we'll keep the peace. Don't say anything. Keep the peace. You know, children misbehave, sometimes you say, well, keep the peace, just let them do it. You should be peacemakers. Make the peace. Stand firm in what is important. You know, Jesus attained a bond of peace by his work on the cross. It's our task to continue that same work. Bringing peace, reconciling both Jew, Gentile to God in one body. You know, there's so much prejudice, there's so much hatred outside in this world. You know, we are called to draw everyone from every nation, every culture, to find the peace of God, the grace of God, the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. From so many different doctrines, so many different places. That's why the Great Commission was given to the disciples in Matthew 28 when he said, go into all nations. All nations, not just one, not just a few, not just the Jews. Go into all nations. Bringing them the good news of the gospel. Baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, the church began in those days as the disciples were faithful and went out. Paul himself, when he came to salvation, as I said just now, he looked after the churches that had been set up by the disciples, the churches where people had begun to meet together. I talked about homes a little while, didn't I, at the beginning of the service. The early church met in homes, wherever they could. They had to meet where, you know, they could easily have been found and killed by the Roman authorities. They had to meet in secret. And then there were the times when they were boldly standing out, like in Acts chapter 2, for example, at Pentecost, when so many people came to salvation, 3,000 on daily people coming to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God. The early church played a big part. Those early church days that I spoke of in myself, there was a lot of confusion, certainly for myself, but I enjoyed so much of it. But I'm so pleased where it's moved today. And you know, the important thing is unity in the body of Christ. Verse 1 instructs us to walk worthy of the calling that God himself has placed in us. We are charged to be completely humble and gentle, to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's our calling. That's what we're asked to do. And I was with some people only last night, and they said, You have a gentle nature about you. And I'm pleased about that. But you know, they also acknowledged when they started swearing, they said, don't do that in front of John. That says something too. There's strength in holding firm onto your faith. Jesus wasn't weak, meek and mild. He was when he needed to be. But when he was firm and strong, like in the temple, when he overturned the tables of those money changers, those money lenders, all the things that was in the house of God that shouldn't have been, there was strength there. That wasn't the meek and mild that everyone thought he was like. There was another side to him that said, no, we're not going to have this in God's house. There was a strength, a real strength. Weakness is always seen as a negative, isn't it? You know, when someone's weak, what about school? I got picked on quite a bit at school. I became a Christian at 12. So I was trying to kind of build my faith and stand firm in what I believed. And I got picked on a lot. I was bullied quite a bit. But I say, not quite the bullying I see today. But I certainly had a few sort of punches and a few pushes and, you know, thrown to the floor a few times. And, you know, and I had my friends around me that had similar faith. Weakness, people pick on. But, you know, within the weakness there comes a strength. It's not negative. It can be strong. The virtues that Paul asks us to live by. There's one word that binds all of those together. I'm sure you know what that is. A four-letter word that says love. You know, love conquers everything. Love changes everything. Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote, didn't he? You know, Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. Or is it Lord now? I can't remember. Lord, I think. Love does change everything. You know, when you're in a situation where it's heated, where there's problems, where there's difficulties, where two people are really at each other, bring love into that situation and it disperses if it's seen. It doesn't always come easy, does it, to keep your calm when you're in that situation yourself. To try and calm down when you want to lash out, when you want to shout because of the wrong that's being done towards you. But the Bible tells us we should maintain the unity of the Spirit through the love that we have for each other. So what is the church? The church is a place where people who are called by God gather to worship him, to listen to his word, to build and encourage each other up in our faith. Church is a mix of people from all kinds of backgrounds. It's being drawn together to serve our Lord Jesus to the best of our abilities, working together, loving and caring for each other, maintaining unity in the body of Christ. Do you know, it wouldn't normally happen, would it, outside? Work situation, yes, there are people from all over, all trying to assert their authority, all trying to do their job, all have their own different personalities. The church is no different. What did we say this morning? Did we say, I'm going to church this morning? I did. I said to Glenda, I'm going to church this morning. Two meanings. The church being the building. We acknowledge that, don't we? But the church is us. It's you and I. We are the church. Not always easy getting on with everyone. But love, compassion, understanding and acceptance. Certainly accepting that we're all different. That means then we can become the church. The bride of Jesus. Talk about that quite often, don't we? That the bridegroom is coming back for his bride. The church will always have its problems. It will always have its difficulties. But God is looking for the bride of Christ. And that comes through loving each other, caring, having compassion, having an understanding, and working together. You know, from the days of the early church to this, countless of people have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. Think of those early church days. Think of those rooms where they met, the upper room at Pentecost, and wherever they could, We talked about, you know, the hidden church, the church that had to meet in secret. Where has the church gone from those days to now? Here we are in freedom. We have freedom to come into this church without persecution. Prayed for countries. There are persecuted countries. There are Christians that are losing their lives every day. I heard of a story, it was a while back now, where 150 Christians lost their heads on a beach. They would not deny Christ, and they died for it. Martyrs. Could you or I do that? I've often thought, you know, if my family was at risk, would I give myself instead of them? The answer is yes, of course. Would I be prepared to lose my life for Christ? I'd like to say today, yes, I would. You know, it's interesting that in that scripture it talks about gifts being given to the church. Evangelists, prophets, teachers, pastors, and so on. Every one of us has a gift. You may not even acknowledge today that you have a gift to give. You might think, well, what can I give? There is always something that we can give. We can love. We can show compassion. We can put our arm around somebody that's struggling. Where is your gift this morning? People often look to the front and think, that man can do this, that woman can do this. I can't do that. But you're not called to do everything. You're called to do the gift that God has given you inside. One of the things I believe we can all do is evangelize. How many times do we come across people that we could easily tell them about the Lord? I miss opportunities galore sometimes. I come home sometimes and I think, I could have said something then, and I didn't. You know, we miss those opportunities. But God has given us those opportunities. You know, I can think of countless stories where I've used those opportunities and helped somebody. Or I've been able to bring a word which may bring fruit in that person's life in the future. You know, if we was to go out now and knock on the doors around these streets, some would shut the door in our face. Others would say, thank you very much, but I'm not interested. Others might say, well, thank you very much for showing that kindness towards me and showing an interest. And there might be those that say, come in and have a coffee. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses go around regular, every weekend, don't they? They go around all the time. And they have, to be honest, a bad reputation. Because people say, oh, Jehovah's Witnesses, don't want to know. Shut the door, slam the face. Slammed in their face. A friend of mine once said, Jehovah's Witness knocked at his door and he said, can you run? He said, why? He said, because I'm going to set my dog on you because you keep on and keep on and keep on and you don't leave me alone. Perhaps that's not the right way. Show love. I had some knock on my door only a few weeks ago and I stood at the door and I said to them, I love the Lord Jesus. He's very special to me. Is he special to you? And we talked for a little while and they left. I still believe it's part of evangelism. You know, these people are very dedicated to what they do, but there is a part that they miss. The fact that we have a certainty that we have eternal life. They work towards earning enough points, if you like, that when they stand before God, God looks at the book of life and says, oh yeah, you've done great, you've done all this and you've done that. Yes, you have a place, or no, you haven't. My Bible tells me, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have a guarantee of eternal life. That's evangelism. So let's just draw this to a close. Where the church began, your experiences of church life, whether it be in a previous church or whether it be just this church, what is your experience within the church? Are you doing what the Bible has asked us to do in Ephesians, about walking together in unity? Are you looking for ways to build the church up, build each other up as we strengthen our relationships together? Because that furthers the kingdom of God as well. It's what happens in here as we build each other up, as we work together to keep that unity in the Spirit. That's what builds the church. Are we doing all that we can as a member of this church, as a member of the body of Christ? Are we walking in the manner worthy of our calling? Are we humble? Are we gentle? Are we loving? Are we caring? I believe only when we are like that, that we can keep the unity of the Spirit together. A little story to end. I can remember being in a prayer meeting, and it was an all-night prayer meeting. And we were getting really tired. Started off okay, and then it began to, the eyelids start to drop, and we had a coffee, we had a drink to kind of keep us awake. And I was sitting right next to a man called Brian. And Brian, certainly towards perhaps around 4 o'clock time, 3, 4 o'clock, was sitting beside me sound asleep. And we'd had probably about an hour of prayer maybe at that time, silent prayer. There was different people sharing various things, but it was a silent prayer hour. And he sat beside me sound asleep. He wasn't snoring or anything like that, but he was asleep. And when we finished, and the person that was leading the prayer meeting, he said, "We'll now break for coffee." He looked up and he said, "Amen." And I turned to him, I said, "Brian, you was asleep." He said, "I was in meditation of my God, in my dreams." You know, there's love in there, isn't there? There's love for each other in a very special way. Could have easily said to him, "Come on, Brian, what are you doing? It's supposed to be an all-night prayer meeting, you know? Wake up, you know? Shouldn't be asleep." But I let him sleep. It's a good thing to have unity in the Spirit. That's what this scripture is all about, living in unity of the Spirit. It's so good. When there's things that go wrong, when you have difficulties with individuals, get it put right. In a previous church, here's another little story I tell you. I'm a bit of a storyteller. I will say this, that there was a lady in a church, in a previous church. For some reason, just didn't get on. And I approached her many times, shook her hand, said hello to her. It just, somehow it didn't work. So I invited her and her friend out for a meal. And she accepted. And over that time of fellowship, on that meal, it changed things. It brought us back together. For whatever reason it was that separated us. I couldn't tell you the reason. I just don't know. There was just something there. And we had a meal together. And the following week, it seemed to be different. And I've got to say, right up to the day that I left that church, everything seemed to be fine. It takes a little bit of effort sometimes, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes a little bit of moving out to somebody. You know, we're not always going to get on with everyone. But you know, God gets on with everyone. God accepts everyone, and he asks us to do the same. So my mission statement, I come back to it. Win, build, and send. I'm never ever going to lose that statement. My family also. I want my family to be fully committed to what we do together as a family, as a Christian family, as a loving family, reaching out to those that we can, winning them for Christ, seeing them built up in their faith, and for them to go out and do exactly the same. That's how the church grows. That's how individuals grow. The church would never have grown if that early church hadn't have adopted a similar policy. When Jesus said, "Go into all nations and preach the good news of the gospel," baptizing them and seeing them come to, you know, a special personal relationship with Jesus. There's a song I want us to close with. Do you know, Graham Kendrick has written so many beautiful songs. They are brilliant. The words, but this one, I don't think will ever change. It will stay forever. When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing, "Shine, Jesus, shine."